gentlemen from the Microsoft Theater here in downtown Los Angeles. Brought to you by Sean Porter Promotions.
How we in on the Stepmasters? I do the Stepmasters.
Live from Los Angeles. It's time for the main
We're going to get right to it today. I love my producer, Hafey. His daughter's birthday. They got things to do. Y'all know the Porter Way podcast. We always put family first. We getting in. We getting out today. We definitely going to have some fun. But I just wanted to make that announcement now. If you see me moving a little fast, you understand why. We kind of reverse things as well. I got my motivational guest coming on soon. Again, we trying to keep this thing moving so we can get in and get out. So we're going to do the motivational message at the beginning of this episode. Other good part about that is I don't know how many of y'all watch the show in its entirety. You know what I mean? So that's a big thing for me, is to be able to give you guys motivation, be able to inspire you guys. And so to have this on first, I know y'all ain't going to miss it. That being said, before we bring him in, I got to acknowledge my guy, Scruncho. Been on the show multiple times, so y'all know him by now.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you having me as always, man. You know, I love to come hang out with your nephew, man.
I feel like at this point, I feel like it's times where you texting me because you like, man, let me get on the show. So let me just send him, let him know I'm watching what's going on.
No, I always watch the show, you know what I'm saying, like a lot of times. I don't know why I was like asking to be on the show. Sometimes I just like to have that boxing conversation with you, you know what I mean? Yeah. From an expert perspective, you know what I mean? Yeah. Because even though I be right about a lot of stuff, that don't make me an expert.
Yeah, I recognize that too. A lot of people like, they watch a lot of boxing, think they know a lot about it, but they always say, I don't know as much as you, like you know, talking to me. And I'm like, You sound like you know pretty good deal of things. You know what I mean?
It's hard, you know what I mean? Because you can not get exposed in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We've seen it long enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of like watching The Godfather. You know, yeah. When you really a fan of The Godfather 1 and 2, and you watch it so many times, you'll be having a conversation with somebody that watched it as many times as you, and a person only watched it 5 or 6 times won't even know y'all talking about
Very
The
true.
Godfather.
Very true. You know Very mean? True. Very you true. Know? That being said, I'm going to make sure that we do a nice little one-on-one 60-minute. We're going to dive into the comedy game as well as the boxing game. You love boxing, quiet as it's kept. I love comedy.
Yeah.
So we're going to kind of like really show you guys how the two are so much alike, that more than you ever even knew.
Yeah.
I got a motivational guest coming on.
That's dope.
I met this kid last week. Mm. I'm going to call him a kid, but he'll let y'all know how old he is. There was a Masters amateur tournament. 35 and up. That's the division. Yeah. Masters boxing division in the amateur boxing system. And this kid is 42, I believe. Told me a little bit about his story. And I was like, yo, when are you fighting? He was like, I'm the last fight of the night. I'm like, man, we ain't got enough time for you to go do the podcast
with me.
And then come back. So I wanted to have him on this week. And I really want to tell his story really quickly, of course. But give him some time to let you guys know. I really think that his story, it moved me. And I feel you guys are gonna find a lot to connect with in his story. Things such as never giving up, working hard, and perseverance. List goes on. Welcome to the Porter Way Podcast, Anthony Pickens.
And wifey.
Yeah, can't forget the wifey, man. She's very instrumental in the story.
Absolutely. What your name again, darling? I'm sorry.
Natasha.
Yes. Good to see you guys again.
You as well.
Listen, let's start here. Let's start at the amateur tournament I just saw you guys at. Just to give you guys a little bit more on this Masters tournament, there were people there from Australia competing. There were people from a couple of other countries that were competing. They come all the way over here in the amateurs just to compete. 50-year-olds in the tournament, 60-year-olds in the tournament. I ain't playing. I met a 72-year-old just last week that fought.
72?
Yeah.
What?
Anthony, how many fights is this for you?
This is officially my fourth fight, but two of the fights were forfeited. So I actually got two actual fights.
And you are how old now?
Finna be 42 next month.
Right. Wow. And the crazy part about your story, I said, man, at 42, what are you doing here? You never had any amateur fights. And your response was that you never even got to have an amateur or a life in general. Kind of, you know, tell a long story short about, you know, your short upbringing and where you spend the majority of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. So I got into boxing at about 7 with my stepfather at the time. He took me to the gym. Very short-lived, because between the age of 7 and then going all the way up until the age of 15, when I ultimately got incarcerated, I was a product of the foster care system, which is where I also met my wife. Mm-hmm. So group homes, foster homes, just over and over, juvenile hall, back and forth, because the home I was living in was extremely abusive at the time, with my stepfather who lived in the home. And so I ended up ultimately getting involved in the street culture, so in gangs inside of the foster homes, because I was typically the smallest individual and they typically segmented into groups. And so I felt the best way for me to survive was to join one of the groups. Long story short about that, that ultimately led me to putting my loyalties into the streets and into the gangs. And then at the age of 15, I was sentenced and convicted as an adult in the state of Oregon and given a life sentence with a mandatory 29 years.
Wow. Kind of take us into the mindset at that point in time. And I think we all know when we're doing bad that eventually it could catch up to us. We don't know when. We want to do as much bad as we can before it catches up to us. When it did catch up to you, kind of tell me the mindset, the mind frame you were in.
So initially, it didn't make full sense. I understood the actions I was doing. Like, I knew for a fact, like, I was doing wrong. When they said life with a minimum of 29 years, I literally looked at my attorney and was like, I ain't even been alive that long. What does that mean?
Yeah.
And so for the first couple years, I really didn't have a grasp of what it meant to be doing life in prison with the minimum of 29 years. And then over the years that I matured and got a little older and actually found my way, because I denounced gangs at the age of 24. I told myself that I needed to start living for me and not other people. And so if that was consequences that needed to be associated with that stuff, I was willing to accept it. Fast forward, many years later, I've been doing good inside of prison, still don't see a way out. And my wife writes me out of nowhere. We hadn't communicated in a lot of years. We were boyfriend, girlfriend as kids. And even through the initial stages of my initial incarceration, life came a hold. And then once we got back on the phone, heard each other's voice, everything picked off from where it was. And she had been determined from day one that I wasn't going to spend the rest of my life in prison. And so she got active.
Natasha, let me ask you this. Knowing everything that your now husband was doing, even at a young age, where was your place in his life at that point in time? Were you ever trying to pull him away from it? Were you just kind of like, you know, hanging in the shadows, upset and sad? You know, kind of tell us how you were feeling.
So we got together actually when he was in the midst of his trial stuff. We didn't really talk about it. It wasn't a conversation that, I mean, when you're going through trial, you don't talk.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a conversation. When I came back in 2018, I always knew who he was. I think that people are who they are at the core from when they're young. So if you're going to be a good person, you're going to be a good person. If you're going to be a shady person, you're going to be a shady person. He was always solid and always had my best intention or my best interest. And so I've never really considered what he went through or what he was going through in that way to where I needed to pull him out of something.
Mm-hmm.
We've always made each other better. So we've always done things in unison when we were young. We got our GEDs together. So he was able to get his before mine because he was older. But it was something that we started together. Our business now, we started together. The boxing stuff, he's doing it, but I'm here together.
Mm-hmm. Yes, congratulations.
So, were you determined to become an attorney before all this happened to him, or was this like the motivation for you?
So he was sentenced on October 2nd, 2000, and I was enrolled in school to be a paralegal on October 9th of 2000. As soon as I read the sentence that he got, I was determined to never let him spend the rest of his life in prison. Over the years, I did work in reentry. I always wanted the guys that were in jail for murder, that were in jail for rape, for all of the hardest crimes, so that I could best know how to help him when he came home, even though we hadn't been in contact. I always knew that there would be a point in time that he would come home and he would need someone who knew those things. When we got back together, I decided to become a criminal defense investigator. And that's when I started looking into his case and looking at the ways that the DA got around laws. And was, they gave him an upward departure of 4 years for non-cooperation, which means not testifying against his co-defendants. But it actually specifically states in the law that you can't do that. But if they, you agree to it, then they get around to it because you agreed to it anyway.
Of course.
Right? So we did what we could. We talked about a lot of trauma and all the things that, that happen, you know, through prison, through life that cause us to make decisions and respond in different ways, and got into a place where filing for a clemency was going to work. We were hoping it was going to work, and it did. But being able to tell his story in a way and get him in front of people, I was talking to Republicans, I was talking to Democrats, I was talking to former people that still had pull in the legislature. I was friends with the director of the Department of Corrections. I was in everybody's ear. And he's here. He's here now.
So Natasha, can you say I defended my man? Are you?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh wow.
So let me ask you a question. Do you think you would be out right today if it wasn't for her, or do you think you'd still be in there?
No, I'd still be in there, potentially dying in there. Because when you don't see a way out in there, it kind of assists with you becoming that environment. And so you can do good for many years in there, but it wears on you, it tears on you. And so if you don't have something to look forward to and to grab a hold of, like, you can become that environment very easy.
Right.
Of course, once we speed all the way up to today, the other thing that really kind of grabbed me about your story, I love your story in its entirety, and I love your wife for standing by your side, for knowing who you are and were, and not being willing to just let you go without the fight that she ended up ultimately putting up. And now you guys are fighting together outside. And you know, when I ran into you the other day, you kind of gave me this feeling that boxing was something that you kind of had to have.
Yes. So all my life, like, I'm in the streets, I've known how to fight. Like, so in the neighborhood, it's just one of them things. You know how to fight. I've loved boxing since I was a little kid. So when I took it from myself, because that's what I actually did and got incarcerated, the entire time I was in there, everybody that knew me, I would always say, if I'm young enough when I get out, that'll happen. I didn't know about the masters back then. And so it was always, if I'm young enough and I think my body can still take it, I got to at least taste the experience. Because for me, it would be a shame not to do something in life that you have a passion for, and then you pass on and on your gravestone or whatever, it never says you did that. Yes, like, sir. Then what was the point? Yes, so sir. I found the masters because one of our cousins was actually competing in it. He was just in Vegas and won as well. Mm-hmm. And, I sent him a DM. I was like, hey, what is this? Is this legit? And he sent me the information, and I immediately signed up. And we went to Atlantic City, my first fight, and competed and won. And yeah. So we continuing.
Maybe another a question or two, and I'll let you guys go. Again, I just appreciate top to bottom everything that you're about, what I've seen. Is the game what you thought it was from watching it on TV, from doing it as a kid? Doing it now at 42, does it, you know, is it everything you thought it was going to be?
And some. It's like, and you can relate, if you have that itch, and it's only one way to scratch that itch, and I'm itching all over my body. And so, like, I'm excited as I was as a little kid when I jumped in it. Like, yeah. It's lovely.
How much longer do you anticipate doing it?
I'm my plan is to fight like four more tournaments this year in the Masters, and then I have one more itch. I have to go pro until we say I did it. So
okay,
and I'm going to go figure that out. Greg Friedo out of the Mayweather gym, we talked, and he said that he'll help me with some training. So I'm going to be in Vegas a little more.
All right, I'm not mad at that at all. Listen, for anybody who wants advice, just to, you know, well wishes, all the good stuff. Why don't you guys leave your social medias in right now?
Mine is at Hittas, HITTAS, Boxing and Fitness on Instagram and TikTok.
And then what about you, Natasha?
And mine is Investigator Pickens on both Instagram and TikTok as well.
And one more thing from you, Natasha. You walked up to me. You were asking me something about the city of Omaha. I have no clue, but you I know you said anything that has to do with us being the black people, the black race, not just in Oregon where you're from. You guys are in Connecticut now, right?
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts. You guys are in Massachusetts. Not just in there. You were talking to me about Bud and Omaha. Give us a little bit more about your background and what you intend to do. Again, for anybody who's seeing this and is connected or can connect you further, would love to be able to do that for you right now.
Yeah, no, we were actually drove across country twice. And as we were driving through Nebraska twice, I looked up some information about just some of the tornado warning systems and like where they have the systems at. And I believe that they do have systems in Omaha, but I don't think they're up to the same standard as some of the other systems in areas that are not populated with people of color.
Uh-huh.
So Omaha has one of the highest if not the highest population of people of color. And so it was interesting to me just kind of see the disparities.
Yeah.
And so trying to reach out to people in areas like that can make a difference and can make change.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just one woman that sees things and is like, this doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
So I have to change this because it doesn't work for me, because it doesn't work for you, and it's harming you.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So I've reached out to Isha.
Yeah.
But also, you know, anybody that there's things that can be changed legislatively in their areas, in particular dealing with people of color as it relates to transportation or access to services and resources, anything inside the prison systems. If people are having issues with medical care, like, that's a huge issue.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that I can do to advocate for people and make things better for people is what I do.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for coming on to the Portaway Podcast. Congratulations winning your fight last week, big dog. And I look forward to seeing y'all both back out here in the next one. It's in August. We will be there with the podcast, streaming it live. So look forward to having you guys come back on back when it happens in just a couple months. And until then, of course, I'll be in touch with you guys. But thank you for coming on to the podcast and sharing your story with us.
Yeah, man. You make sure.
Thank you as well.
And welcome home. And if I can't give you no advice, let me just say this to you. Not only do you got a good woman, but that's the wrong woman to cheat on. So, practice loyalty, because you would end up right back in there. She got you out, she can put you in. So if you ain't practice on loyalty, you might as well go back to jail. You know what I mean?
All right, y'all.
We got it.
Yeah, God bless y'all.
All right, you too.
Yes, sir. Yeah, man. I feel like there's so much in that story, redemption.
That's a movie, actually.
You know? Yeah. The ability to just, you know, have that forward thinking. You know what I mean?
And he look youthful too. He don't look no 42.
Huh? Yeah.
He don't look 42.
Yeah.
32 maybe.
42. Yeah. Your hair look 42.
Oh, yeah, man.
What's going on up there?
You got a little ass Kato.
I ain't mad at you.
The wife would slap something on it, you know what I mean?
So, listen, we just started it. We started it a couple weeks ago. We had our social media guy come on. He does all the social media for the podcast. And I said, you know what? We're about to start the TPWP news segment. So, here we go, Andy. Let's bring in Andy, and we're going to get down with everything that's going on in the boxing world right now from a news perspective.
What up?
And we'll make it happen. Andy, Scrunch, Andy.
What's up, Andy?
What's going on?
What's up with you, Matthew?
Let's get to it.
So let's get straight to the biggest thing all over boxing socials. We got to talk Tank versus Devin, the sparring. I need Scruncho's thoughts. Man. I need Sean Porter's thoughts. Ethical. Just give me the thoughts on the sparring in general.
You seen Sparring, right?
Yeah, I seen the Sparring.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know what I mean? I thought, just talk
to the camera.
Yeah, just consider the fact that Devin was 16. I think he held his own, and I thought Tank style was, when he walked him down, he got that power, and the power, anytime you sparring, we talked about this before, anytime you sparring, it's automatically go towards the one with the power, because the one with the power can always outshine the one with the skill set, because the one with the power, the one with the skill set, he got on, 16-ounce boxing gloves, and he got on headgear. So he, even though Tank did his thing, you know what I mean? I think if he didn't have the headgear on, it would have been a no-brainer. You know what I mean? He had the 16-ounce gloves on. It was like Tank had on two pair of gloves. So, of course, he probably could have finished him, you know what I mean? But at the same time, he was a boy. He's, your body changed from 16 to 18, from 18 to 21, 21 to 25. That's not even the same person as you see today. So I don't take too much into it. But for Tank power, probably got more powerful. But I think Devin Haney he stood on his feet, and I don't think he got knocked out like Adrian Broner said. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I just thought all around, just, the promotion itself has become a little messy.
Right.
And I get it. Mm-hmm. These guys got history. Dev's dad, Bill, he ain't never about pulling no punches, especially verbally. And I think that from the other side of that, when you see Tank get put down by, you see Ryan get put down by Tank and then not come up, not get up, not come back from that. And then you see Ryan, kind of walks his way into the Mayweather tree, and we start hearing these rumors that they're hanging around. He's going to show him a better shoulder roll, all these different things. The thing that wasn't supposed to happen just happened. And that's, you put the first onus on Floyd. Floyd is one thing to share wisdom that you know about another fighter.
Yeah.
It's another thing to actually give that to somebody else.
Right.
And that's what you don't do. You know what I mean? If Floyd had him in his house and he showed him on his theater screen, showed his sparring on the theater screen, that's one thing. Yeah. But you don't send the sparring to this kid so that he can now use it to utilize it. From what we already know, it becomes this psychological warfare. I'm going to do everything I can before the fight to get into your head. I get that.
Yeah.
And Floyd did the same thing when I fought Adrian.
Yeah.
Adrian gets on the ring, on the stage, the final press conference, and he's talking about all the things that I got, all the things that my dad got, and how my dad keeping money from me, all these other things.
Right.
And I laughed at it because I was like, yo, this is so rehearsed.
Right.
You live in Cincinnati. There's only one way you can get this information.
Yeah.
Somebody gave you this information so that you could come on this stage so that they can get into my head.
Yeah, that was
come
definitely on now. Psychological
that's,
warfare.
That's old school. And I'm way past this. You know what I mean? So I sat there quiet.
Yeah.
Didn't say nothing the whole time. And did what I always did. I let my fist fly. You know what I mean?
Right.
But the thing, once you take that, you go from Floyd, number one, the sparring should have never went from Floyd to Ryan. Once it gets to Ryan, there's a code of ethics in the sport of boxing.
Right.
You can talk about a sparring session that you've seen.
Yeah.
Somebody gets pushed down. We'll make the announcement. Yo, let's do the best we can. Don't nobody need to know about this, y'all. You know how we get down in here.
Yeah.
And everybody leaves the sparring session like, yo, did you just see that? Yeah. Like, yo, you gotta be, try to forget it.
Yeah.
That's the ethics. The ethics is whatever happens in the gym stays in the gym.
Yeah.
And the number one thing you don't do is you don't record it.
Yeah.
And then when you do record it, the number one thing you don't do is release it. You know what I mean? So I get it. You trying this whole psychological warfare and stuff like that. But come on, big dog.
But I think what else happened too is I think whatever he gave to Ryan, I don't think his intention was, Ryan, you gonna rat on me or whatever. You know what I mean? Gonna tell everything. But I think just
hold up. Because when you Floyd Mayweather, the man known for thinking five moves ahead.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah, but if you give me some information, right? You know what I mean? And I go tell it to the world. You know what I mean? They're going to be mad at you. You should be a little upset with me because, I got to protect our conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So as much as Floyd is wrong, I think it was weak of Ryan to, tell about that event. Because now
Now Ryan could be putting a 10 on a 2 to purposely antagonize the Haneys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which he was getting kind of underneath his skin with it.
Yeah.
You know, like telling little bits and wouldn't telling this and that.
Yeah.
And then it really, to me, as much as it made Floyd look bad, it made Ryan look bad.
Oh, yeah, because absolutely.
Because it was like, you know, you wouldn't even fall in your own manhood because you backed out of flight because of what he said.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
You know, you can look like that. And then he was, you know, it's. I think Ryan, personally, I just think he calling out. You know, when he was talking to God, it seemed like he was calling out to God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what his personal issues is, mm-hmm. but I think it's something in there that got him. He just even when he said the thing about the, if you had $100 million and you know what I mean, and if you would know what you would do, it seemed like it's something he wanted to say that he can't say. You yeah. know, so if you read in between the lines, I think he's I think it's bigger than this fight.
Yeah.
I think it's something going on that he's battling with.
Yeah.
That he, you know, I think actually we do need to pray for him
yeah.
because he mentioned Jesus Christ and God, but it wasn't like he was. It's like he was calling on him yeah. more than talking about him.
And we can come back to that, but I will say this: I went to a Sparta session on Monday,
mm-hmm.
and when did this thing come out? The video of the sparring came out with that.
Literally
like
maybe
Thursday or Friday
second, and like after the second press conference, I believe.
Yeah, so I went to a sparring session on Monday. Amateur fighters. One kid is 18. I don't even know how old the other kid was. I put my phone up and I recorded it for about 15 seconds. When the bell rang and they were done with that round, I said, "Hey, Dad, I just want you to know I recorded about 15 seconds of that. I'm only sending it to my dad. I want my dad to see where I'm at. I want him to see this right. kid, but I'm not sharing this with anybody and I'm going to delete it right now."
Mm-hmm.
You don't hold your phone up
right.
and sparring.
Right.
You don't bring a camera in to sparring. Guess what? We got footage of me and Manny sparring.
Mm.
We got footage of me and Manny Pacquiao sparring.
Leak it, leak it.
No. Yeah, right. But it was understood. My dad said, I want me and my son to have this. And he and Freddie made an understanding. You can hold it, but I don't want anybody to ever see this, Ken.
Right.
And nobody has ever seen a sparring session between me and Manny Pacquiao. It's just the code of ethics. I hate that they broke that code. Everybody in sport and boxing know the code. Tighten up. That's what this is all leading to. For anybody any of the fighters that's watching this now, tighten up. Cause you never know who's around, who's doing something, and it could lead to something dirty that comes back to haunt you in some ways. Again, the kid was only 16 at that point in time, but it shined a bad light on the kid, man.
But not only that, it put a different, I think he gonna get a, I mean, I he was, a, he didn't have a chance to beating Devin anyway.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're talking about Ryan, right?
Ryan.
Uh-huh.
On a skill set yeah. level. He's just not a better fighter. But I think this right here is just put a different level of sometimes what you're doing to hurt a person, you're gonna make it worse.
Yeah.
I think it's gonna be worse.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? I really do, because it's a different fire in him now than it was. You finna fight somebody. Now you found out he did something to you. Now it's a different tension.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And plus, you know, it's
waking
hard.
The dog up.
Yeah, and then especially when you it's hard to beat somebody, you know what I mean, when they're in the right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that gonna add to it too.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised it'd be over.
Did we lose Andy?
No, I'm right here. I don't know what's going on with the TV though.
Oh yeah, yeah. Come on, let's bring in another one.
Yeah. But if y'all still able to hear me.
Yeah, we got you, Andy. But go ahead. Give us your thoughts on the sparring session and all that. And then we'll move on.
Sparring session, I mean, it looked like AB had told the truth, you know, in the sense that he did jump in. Dev looked like, he looked like he wasn't getting the best of Tank in that session. But at the end of the day, he is a 16-year-old kid. Tank got that grown man strength already. And also the doghouse rules. We know about the doghouse rules. It's just an infinite round, and it goes into whoever is just exhausted at the very end. So that version of it, we'll never know. Ryan, he let out a tweet. I sent that over to Hafey. He alluded to him being like, you know, he wants to get all the footage himself. So even Ryan himself said that he wants to see the full sparring footage instead of just the Tank highlights.
For what? What's the point? For what?
But yeah, and just right to correct you, he did tell the truth, Broner, partially, because he said he jumped in the ring because Ryan was, I mean, because Devin was out on his feet. And that wasn't the case.
Nah, Devin wasn't up.
He wasn't even hurt. Didn't seem like it.
No. So let me ask you this. Could this, maybe a little bit conspiracy theory, could Floyd be manipulating all of this behind the scenes? Is Floyd, does this benefit Devin and Ryan? Do you think that they spoke about that as like a triangle? Like, yo, the sparring's going to get released. It's going to build hype. Everyone's going to be talking about it. Or does this ruin the relationship that Devin and Floyd had? Because Devin and Floyd would do pad work. Like, he was essentially like a part of that Mayweather school of boxing. He started off with Floyd Sr. Like, that's, he's been around that gym and Floyd for so long.
Yeah.
You think he genuinely hurt? Or is this something that maybe was behind the scenes, like they planned this?
I can't imagine it, man. I think this was genuine. You know, if I'm wrong, please, somebody shoot a tweet. Dev, Bill, Floyd, shoot a tweet. Let me know that
Dev,
I'm wrong.
Dev put out a tweet out, and he did seem like hurt about it. He said that Floyd was a hater and that he hasn't spoken on it for some time.
Right.
And I'm paraphrasing here, but basically he said that Floyd was a hater and that it's right there. There you go.
But I don't think it ruined their relationship. I just think his mentor, he felt betrayed. You know what I mean? Mm. But I think the love he got for Floyd, I think it's always, they commend it. You know what I mean? I think he can find a way to forgiveness, because everything that he ever, he can't just cut somebody loose like that. Although I think he more hurt than killing the whole relationship, friendship. You know what I mean? I could tell they was more hurt because that's his, you know, that's his big bro, you know, so that's who he mimicked his whole style after, and that's who he looked up to. So when your teacher hurt you, betray you, you know, a teacher could always find a way to say, I'm sorry, and people gonna always give him a chance to reconcile, I believe.
That's deep. Yeah. For me, I look at it as, you know, again, coming up in Vegas, coming up in the Mayweather gym, catching pads and things like that. I'm sure it was unspoken that eventually we're going to sign with Mayweather Promotions. When that didn't happen, Bill and Devin decided to go their own way, do it the way that they were able to do it and get to this point. I'm sure at some point Floyd may feel a little slighted. Like, you're supposed to be in my crew. You're supposed to be rocking with me. And now this is what I'm going to do because you decided not to rock with me. You know what I mean? So to me, it looks like it's debris from years and years ago. Things that were unsettled, and we can see now that unsettledness is starting to show itself. That's how I look at it.
I mean, you can look at it like that.
I'm just predicting some Leonard Ellerbe quote tweets already. Once I put it on, Leonard is gonna see it. He's gonna be quoting it. So it's incoming Leonard Ellerbe tweets.
Yeah, you go.
Yeah, I can see, it's no way I would train somebody and teach him to be Baby Scruncho, then they go on and be a big name, and then all of a sudden they delete me out the equation. So, yeah, I can see Floyd can be upset because he ain't raising him to do him. He raising him to be the next him. So if he raised you to be the next you and you turn around and go be you by yourself, you know what I mean? You know, so it can be some animosity. I mean, from a personal perspective, I'd be mad. You know what I mean? I'd be upset or feeling some type of way.
What else you got, Andy?
Segue going. Let's talk about the elephant in the room, man. I feel like it's not really something that a lot of people have spoken about in depth, but Ryan Garcia, something's going on there. What's going on? His voice is super hoarse. He said he's been yelling a lot, but I mean, obviously he's been doing these tours, etc., you know, doing his media stuff. So, what's going on with Ryan? Does he look different to you? Am I reading too much into the hoarse voice? Like, is there anything to speculate here, or is this just him trolling?
Listen, the bottom line is we all need protection. You know, we all need to be protected, not only from the outside world, but we all, some of us need more protection from ourselves and others. You know, when you have your 25, 26-year-old, however old he is now, you have so much at your disposal. You never know when things are gonna spiral out of control in such a way mm-hmm. that you don't even recognize it yourself. You know what I mean? So for me, that's what I look at. I look at it at 26, 27, how old he is now, 25, 26, however old he is now.
25, yeah.
I think he needs to be reeled in. And I think that the promotion of this fight needs to stop. And he needs to get into the ring, into the gym, box, focus on boxing. Mm. Something he ain't gonna do, turn off the phones, turn off the computers, turn off any and everything that gets you connected to what people are saying about you. Because the more you're looking at that, the more you look, the less you're looking at yourself. Mm-hmm. And that becomes a problem when you are on the world stage and you don't even realize some of the things you're saying. After you say it, you realize what you said. Now you can't take it back.
Yeah.
The list kind of goes on. So, you know, we already know about the mental health issues he's had in the past. To me, I really, at the end of the day, we have to, here's the thing. If you felt like we needed to know what you were going through, we kind of needed to know what you were going to do about it.
Yeah.
And so now we need to know that you even did something about it.
Because he called it out for help. He said, listen, if you 20, how many people, you know, 25 or $100 million, what would you do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's telling you, you know what I mean?
He's screaming for help.
But here's the thing about Ryan. You can't not help but to love his heart. You can tell he's just a good little dude.
Absolutely.
Probably really generous.
Absolutely.
Probably really kind.
Absolutely.
He's nice to everybody. Yeah. You can tell he got, you know, good-hearted people do bad things.
He truly is a really good person. I think that has just been misled by you know, what they call it, self-destruction.
Yeah.
You know, I think that he's just been misled, been a little misled, misguided. And there's nothing wrong with, number one, admitting that. Number two, you've already admitted that to us years ago. Did you get help for it? If you got help for it and you decided to come back to the ring, do you need to go ahead and continue with that help while you're in the ring? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know people who have done that while they're boxing.
Right.
They have certain days that, yo, I'm not even training today. I'm doing my mental training today. Mm-hmm. That's a truth. That's a real thing, by the way. You know, so some of us need more of it, you know? And I kind of, you know, I feel like when you're 25, everything has come his way. And, you know, this fight that you just had where you, you know, went down and didn't get up, you know, it becomes a snowball effect, you know?
Yeah, and sometimes, like, even if he lose, sometimes a loss could be your greatest win. Yep. Because sometimes the loss that I think he's going to receive coming up, because it don't seem like he just mentally prepared, number one. And you cannot step in the ring with Devin Haney. And Devin Haney is always focused. He always in shape. He is a technician inside the ring. You can't come in there. You got to have all your skills on tack. And his psychological game right now seems questionable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I could predict the fight, but I'm sure Devin going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that would be a good time for Ryan to really seek the help he need and get his mind back in the game, because he's an amazing talent.
Absolutely.
I like Ryan.
Absolutely.
So this just came out last night, too, and the segue into it, another young fighter, not 25. I'm only 23, I'm quoting him, Jared Anderson.
Yeah.
He called himself a felony.
Yeah.
He's voiced before that boxing is just a means to an end for him, that he's not really concerned about being a champion. And I'm paraphrasing once again, but he's left these sentiments in the boxing world that has led a lot of the boxing community to believe that he's not fully invested. And are we seeing another downward spiral with this charge that he just got?
What kind of car was he in?
Oh man, I know I know he was in something so fast that Tim Bradley had mentioned it on ESPN that he knew once, as soon as he saw his car, that it was bad news for him and that he was going to get in trouble.
Ah.
Oh wow.
And then how fast was his car going? That's kind of important to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I don't got all the details.
130
like
miles an hour.
Ooh.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
but in the kind of car he got, that's not difficult.
Hey,
you
listen,
could be
cruising.
130.
I did 130 on the track, and
it don't even feel like it.
It feel like you're doing 80 miles an hour.
Looks like he was in a Dodge Challenger.
But listen, the fact of the matter is that he did flee, and he didn't just pull over. Listen, he was going for it.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Some of the things I may have dreamt about.
Hey, man, sometimes.
Some things I may have dreamt about. I just could never flee. I'm pulling over, you know, but, you know, In my dreams, yeah, I've definitely pushed that pedal when I was supposed to pull
over. But you know what?
You think it's mental health or is it something just like, I think I got one in me. Like, I think I could just get out of this one.
Most people that, we all done got away. Meaning like, how did he get, when he fleed, did he flee when he already had him in or did he pull over and flee?
Yeah.
It's a different kind of flee.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
sometimes
you see the police coming and you out there.
Don't. Yeah, yeah.
You see him hitting the corner, you making a run for it. Yeah. So that could be, considered, he fleed.
Yeah.
Or did he pull over?
Yeah.
And then that's a different kind of flee.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if he hit already at 130, who going to pull over?
Listen, I'm gonna say this. So when I saw a couple months ago that the other Big Baby was arrested. I think he was fighting. Was it in Cali or Florida? Something like, I think it might have been Florida. He was fighting and got arrested for fighting. And I actually thought that it was Jared Anderson who had gotten arrested. And so I thought to myself, I said this was kind of like his way of getting out of the boxing ring. You know, when you cause this kind of harm to yourself, you already know what the consequences are going to be. You know what I mean? And so I kind of feel like the same, even though, it's a car, I'm doing 130, I'm fleeing, and then eventually I do end up pulling over. Was this my way of, hey, I don't want to just be completely honest and say, this boxing thing, even though I'm big, even though I'm strong, I got all the skills, I'm supposed to be the next world champion, but that ain't what I want. Instead of coming out and saying those things, this is what you would consider acting out. You know, when you talk about acting out, usually you're talking about a 4-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old. Right. But this is a grown man's version of acting out, and I kind of feel like that's what this is here.
But remember this too, though. It could be this, though. We living in a time where social media rob you of your ability to make righteous decisions.
Right.
So a lot of people move emotionally.
Right.
Because everybody emotionally driven.
Yeah.
So he could click like that. That don't mean he, not saying it's right or wrong, but I'm saying it could just be emotional reaction. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like,
Listen, Scruncho was emotionally driven by this outfit that he got on. His chest is all the way out. He was emotionally driven by that.
You know how it is once you start lifting after about 3 days.
Give us one more. Give us one more.
I'm out here. I'm trying to get like, yeah. Get it. All right. So at the top of the mountain hill, at the end of the day, Tank, he stopped Ryan Garcia. The footage is released of him putting some punishment on Devin. Shakur chimes in. Shakur is on Twitter heavy. His nickname is Twitterson. He's owned it. He put out a tweet where he said, "Never in my life have I took a punishment like that by any fighter. Good Lord." Tank quote-tweeted him and said, "You know what's up too."
Ooh. Yeah. Good Lord. I love it, man. I think that some fighters went up a couple weight classes, some, me and T.O., obviously now Devin, and of course Ryan, we had that quintet, whatever, that five, at one point in time, it was like, who's going to win between this? It's like they're still able to manage that rivalry and keep it going, you know what I mean? So I love it, man. I think that is really added some energy to the sport of boxing that's needed. I think all the way around, it's a little messy. It ain't. But I'm a little bit older. Blah, 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 blah. It's a little bit much for me, but at the same time, it's cool to see some, my French, but some killers ready to kill.
Yeah.
It's cool to see some killers ready
It's a fearless time right now.
Everybody
wants to smoke. I'm excited.
Yeah. So hopefully that retweet lead to something eventually.
And speaking about it right now, Tank seemed like he confidently, put that out there. Like, he said what he said about Shakur. So
100.
With you, Sean Porter, being the person you recently had done an interview saying that's the super fight in boxing. Like, I need to hear Scruncho's thoughts. Tank versus Shakur, that's everybody's. Like, that's the one right there at 135 pounds. That's it, right?
I think that if you look at the last fights, it's Tank versus, if you just judge from the last fights, it's Tank versus Devin, you're looking at the fight. Because Devin grew. We've seen him grow and become apparently a harder puncher, a bigger person, and more physically ready. You know, but in Shakur, I think Shakur fought. I don't think he was running. I think that power made him adapt to where it looked like he was running. You know what I mean? And he got to stand in the fire. So now when I see Devin and Shakur, I mean, when I see Javonte and Shakur, I see him kind of chasing him down the whole fight. But when I see Devin and Javonte, see a war there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I see a war.
You think Devin versus Tank is more competitive than Shakur versus Tank? Wow, the tides have changed.
Yeah, I think so. Because I think right now, I think Shakur is probably the most gifted for this raw talent and just ability defensive fighters. You know what I mean? But I think this is a dog world. I think, and I think the way Tank and Devin fight, Devin ain't got no choice but to fight because Tank gonna walk him down, and he got the footwork where Devin
keep up.
When he turned, Tank gonna be right there. So it's like it's gonna be a battle of nutrition. You know what I mean? So I think if Tank at the top of his game, I think it's gonna. I ain't gonna say we're gonna win, but that'd be a good one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
You know. But yeah, who you think gonna win that fight?
Man, I like talking Tank Shakur a little bit more because they're still both 135-pound fighters. I think that fight makes the most sense. And I think I always felt like it was a pick'em fight. Mm-hmm. I felt like it was 50-50 depending on who's able to just really beat them round after round. But something that we really do know, we know that Tank has true grown man strength. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we truly know. We don't know the kind of strength that Shakur possesses. Exactly. We know his timing is impeccable and literally unreal. Right. We know his ability to keep, measure, maintain, manage range and distance is like I've never seen before, me personally. And y'all know me, I'm on record for not watching that much boxing, but I just feel like when I've seen this kid, he's really, really special, man. It's something that only comes once in a lifetime, and he is that once right there. Yeah. But after 8 or 9 rounds of somebody coming after you, what starts to waver? When the mental starts to waver, everything else wavers. Mm. If you're that mentally strong, but is your body that physically strong? Have you grown into being 135 pounds as a man the way that Tank has?
Right.
I'm really just wondering if his body is going to be able to endure.
That's a good. But what you think though? Who would you think gonna come out the victor?
Yes or no? Who winning?
Damn! Didn't that make that sound as 50-50 as I can make it sound? can't make it sound no more than 50-50 than that. All right.
I give you okay. Just to end it all here, he actually does have a fight, and it's not officially announced, but it's floating on the internet like it's announced. Tank and Frank Martin are supposed to be like that's supposed to be a done deal. Nobody's announced it officially. Like, Tank hasn't announced it, etc. But it's looking like that's the fight that's been made. Does Frank Martin stand a chance in there?
Me and Ant talked about the fight a little bit last week. We was excited. We, you know, seen the tweets or whatever. I think it's a hell of a fight. I think it's a dynamite fight. I think Frank doesn't really have the profile of course, Devin Haney. Maybe even a Shakur Stevenson. I won't even say maybe. Doesn't have the profile of a Shakur Stevenson either. But I think that he can squeak through with rounds. And for him, I think he's always going to be on the clock. But I definitely think Frank has the speed, the virtuosity, the versatility. He possesses a number of things to not only make it a really good fight, but possibly do something and squeeze out an upset.
I don't think it'd be upset. I think Frank is talented, gifted, strong. But it's two things I like about Javonte. He take a punch good, and he get madder when you hit him. And he hit harder. And then it turns into, you hit me hard, I'm hit you hard, hit me harder. And then it comes to when Tank get hit a few times.
Yeah.
At that point, all skills go out the door. He walking you down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Frank, you know, can Frank take when he dish? You know what I mean? Because I don't know, man. I just think I got Tank in the later rounds.
Sean, so let me get a final prediction. Are we going to see Errol Spence, since he's Frank Martin's promoter, is he going to be in the press conferences the way Oscar is like with Golden Boy. Are we going to expect Spence to be up there with the suit and tie and speaking against his friend Tank? But for his fighter, Frank Martin?
Listen, he hasn't called me yet for a suit, so I don't think we'll see him on the stage in a suit representing Frank Martin. I think even now at this point, I know this. When you are most active fighters that have promotional companies, they're not active promoters. They're not active managers promoting and managing their fighters when they're not fighting themselves. So. He'll definitely be in attendance, but I can't imagine him being on stage or anything like that. If he is, he better call me and get a suit.
Okay, there you go. I want to see Errol Spence in an SP suit. Let's do it.
Yes, sir. Andy, we appreciate you, big dog.
Appreciate y'all.
Catch you on the next one. That's my boy, Andy. We just started the TPWP news segment. So every couple weeks, especially when some hot stuff is going on in the world of boxing, we want to bring in our social media guy so that he can kind of keep me up on what's going on because I don't see too much of it. Welcome to the Point Away Podcast. This ain't your first time.
It's my first time in this spot.
Right. Yeah. Right. Andres Hale.
Yes, sir.
What's your title now, man?
I don't know what my title is, bro. Yeah. I'm a writer.
Music guru. Yeah. Can we go with music guru?
We could do that. We could do film producer. We could do writer. Sports, multimedia, SiriusXM.
Yeah.
Multi-hyphenate,
man. I'm blessed to know you, big dog.
Blessed to know you.
This your first time meeting?
Yeah. I think we met somewhere before, but I'm trying to remember where because I haven't seen you before.
Scrunch just kind of be everywhere.
Yeah. You know, I need you, Mike. And I just got a new show, by the way. You know what I'm saying? It's called West Comedy Jam.
Okay.
First West Coast Comedy Jam and executive producer Marcus King.
Okay.
Shot 16 episodes already.
Okay.
So you might want to come in on the marketing and producing.
Hey, man, sir. Come check it out. I'm here.
Yeah, we finna get it cracking. So it'll be out this summer, too.
All right, bet.
Yeah, matter of fact, go to westcomedy.com. It's going to be pop. It's fire. Fire.
What did you do with that?
We shot at the El Porto Theater.
No, did you host it or?
Yeah, I was hosting.
Okay,
and it's kind of like a West Coast version of Def Jam.
I missed that, by the way.
/ Comic View.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got like a female DJ.
Okay,
you know, got like a West Coast setting. It's fire.
Okay,
yeah,
that's what's up.
Got like 16 episodes in. Like the comedians that's on that show, I was blown away. I couldn't believe the level of talent they got out there.
Any names you want to drop now?
Man, some of the funniest dudes I've seen, Rico the Great, Mario Hodge,
okay.
Little G, Kenesha Buss,
okay.
Precious Hall, Kamira White, you know, man, it was just Howie Bell was funny.
Okay.
And who else? Oh man, they had some microphone killers on there.
Yeah.
You know, Tahir. Man, it was so many funny dudes. I promise this is gonna be the funniest comedy show you probably ever seen.
West Coast Comedy,
it's
right?
It's called West Comedy Jam.
Oh, excuse me. West Comedy Jam.
Yeah, West Comedy Jam.
WestComedyJam.com.
Yeah.
Support my guy Scruncho, WestComedyJam.com. Andres, I hate that you came in late. But we had a lot going on today. Yeah. So this episode is a little bit kind of all over the place. But next time we bring you in, I love talking to you in general. But I definitely want to get some good boxing talk in with you. But last month being February, Black History Month, I was elated that you invited me to the premiere of the cartoon that you and Big E have been working on.
Oh,
when did you guys officially like release it?
We officially released it February 1st.
Oh, okay.
To coincide with Black History Month,
okay.
The short film Bridges.
Yeah.
Should I give the overview, I guess?
Yeah.
Me, Big E, Jonathan Davenport is a wrestling gear designer at WWE. We got together to make a cartoon that blends like Schoolhouse Rock and hip hop.
Oh, that's tight.
It's an animated series, but this is like the pilot episode. It's called Bridges on Ruby Bridges, the first black girl who integrated school in 1960.
Oh, that's tight.
Yeah, so we had Rhapsody, Grammy-nominated hip-hop artist Rhapsody. She's a good friend of mine. We had her do the original song. We got nominated for NAACP Image Award, so we're getting ready to go to L.A. for that in a couple weeks.
Excuse me.
So, yes, it's been busy, man. Outside of all the boxing and watching people get punched in the face for a living, I made a cartoon for kids.
Let's show it real quick. Let's show it real quick.
Okay, here we go.
How many different stories did you guys cover?
The only one we've done thus far is Ruby Bridges.
It's the Ruby Bridges.
We did a Kickstarter in 2020.
Uh-huh.
During the pandemic, obviously the George Floyd situation happened. Mm-hmm. You know, me and Big E was sitting at home. We was like, yo, what can we do? You know what I'm saying? Like to talk about Black history in a way that's not pedantic, like in a way that's not feeling like it's beating over our kids' head. And Johnny made characters that look like Schoolhouse Rock. I grew up on Schoolhouse Rock. Yeah, I still know how Bill became a law because of that. See, that's what I'm talking about. So we were like, well, how about we do that, but with hip-hop? Like, I worked in the music industry for a long time. I said, why don't we tell, like, Black stories with hip-hop, but in the same vein as Schoolhouse Rock? Add a little science fiction in there. Like, we got a museum called the Hall of Heroes where the kids go and they have a virtual field trip and they meet all these people in Black history.
Oh, that's tight.
And then it goes into this hologram, like you go into a virtual music video.
Wow.
And we get different hip hop artists. So we got Rhapsody and Eric the Architect from the Flatbush Zombies, the first time they ever worked together. And they made that original song. So it's a way to kind of get to kids. And also, like, you're a parent, you know how this goes. I'm so tired of Baby Shark. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm so tired of Baby Shark. I want something that I can listen to that I can be like, that's kind of dope.
Yeah.
And that's what we wanted to do with this. Yeah. So that was like the first episode. It took us like 3 years to make.
Yeah.
We finally got it out to the world.
Yeah.
Wait, it took 3 years to financially make or literally make?
It took, so we started a Kickstarter. We raised $130,000. And then it was the whole process of animated. So we did 3D and 2D animation, sound design. We had to do voice. We had to write the script. So it was completed around early last summer. We got into the Urban World Film Festival. So we had a world premiere in November. Sean actually came to my premiere in Vegas. I think it was late last summer. And then, you know, we had a few meetings about releasing this thing wide. And then we decided, like, it's best to get it out for Black History Month. We dropped it on February 1st.
Yeah. And that's kind of where everything happened with me last year. Yeah. My wife was like, during February, she's like, I want to start teaching the boys about Black history. And I was like, yo, let me call my guy. Let's see what's going on with this cartoon. This year, found out that you actually launched it. I said, man, I got to, even if it's 5 minutes, which it ended up being for this one, I gotta have him come into the studio. I wanna make sure that I do my due diligence, not only as a friend, but as a fan of you, as a fan and friend of Big E, and the project as a whole. Like, I'm a friend and a fan of the project too.
Appreciate that.
You know what I mean? So I just really wanted to see it come to life. It did, and I wanted to make sure I got it on my platform to make sure that everybody knew that it was there for.
I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, man.
It's a lot of work, man. I mean, making a cartoon ain't easy. You know what I'm saying? Like,
man,
we didn't know how hard it was going to be.
And I love you, Hafey. I promise you, I'm going to get you out of here. We got to cover real quick. Now I'm losing his name. Ford.
Ray Ford.
And Komatov.
Mm-hmm.
Hell of a fight.
Yes.
I don't know if you know this, but I live tweet during fights. That's like the only time I tweet, really. Like, every now and then something funny happened, I tweet. But for the most part, I'm only tweeting during, you know, I get my score, all my analytics and stuff like that. It was the 11th round, I think, going into the 12th. I said, there's really never a fight where you get to see both fighters do exactly what they have to do to win a fight. And I said, I think this last round is going to mean a whole lot.
Yeah.
And he ended up being down on two of the scorecards. I didn't know that. Yeah. I knew it was close, but I didn't know Ford was down. Ford comes out and gets the stoppage in the 12th round.
Yeah, I seen where he caught him, because dude was pressuring him, which what he had to do.
Yeah.
But he walked right into something, and it was like, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
At 126.
Jeez.
He's like,
that.
Yeah. I never, and I'm going to be honest, I never was very big on Raymond Ford. Savage. I was like, I don't really see Savage, you know? I don't really.
Yeah.
But like, when you have to, like, it kind of is what it is. You hear a lot of fighters say, you still ain't seen the best version of me.
All the time.
We would hear Errol would say that. Remember, he said, you still ain't seen the best of me, you know what I mean? And it usually takes that perfect fight, that perfect thing, what's causing you to really dig in your bag. And yep. you really, a lot of fighters, you realize they got one, two.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll say this, like watching that, you know, like I started watching it today because I watched the highlights last night. I was watching the Jake Paul fight and everything else, and I was catching up.
Yeah.
You never know if somebody has dog in them until their back's up in the wall, like in that situation.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people say, I got dog in me. Do you though?
Shout out to Malcolm. He out there right now, my Taylor business partner. He looked at me and said, SP, how can you determine how much is the fighter and how much is the coach? Mm-hmm. I said, well, here's the thing. When you see a fighter go back to his corner and then you see him come out and he shows a different level of energy and things like that, you can tell that he was listening to his corner and his corner told and asked him to do the right things. I think it was like third or fourth round, his coach said, we got to go after him. We got to go get him. We got to push him back. And it was perfect for an Uzbek fighter. That's a lot of them fight coming forward.
Exactly.
When it comes to them going back, it's like they kind of lose themselves. And then you could hear in the other corner, Joel saying, yo, you got to push him back. I said the same thing. You got to start. We got to see like an entire man. Like it was just beautiful, top to bottom. I want to say congratulations and two salutes to Raymond Ford, man. I just thought, savage. You earned that, baby. You earned that last night. You earned that last night.
Where do you think he goes from here?
I don't know.
Interesting, right?
I don't know, yeah.
He's a threat.
Especially at 126. Oh, yeah. And he said he's moving up to 130.
Yeah.
He said he's done with 126. And I appreciate that. It's too many fighters that kill themselves just to have that quote-unquote advantage on fight night of being the bigger guy. You know what I mean? So I love the fact that he wasn't shy about it. He said, yo, mission accomplished. I got the belt. I'm moving up. And up there, we know Navarrete might be moving up soon, but I would love that Navarrete fight.
That'd be great.
He also talked about Oshaki Foster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that make more sense.
I hate that fight right now because I think they both, you know,
they're right there.
Like a little bit more, maybe one more fight for both of them.
Build.
But man, I thought it was dynamite. Much quicker with Jake Paul. With any thoughts on Jake Paul?
I wrote the piece for ESPN.
Good question for you, man. Did you feel like you had to watch that fight?
No.
Okay.
I'm always interested in somebody that's bringing eyeballs to the sport, right?
Okay.
And I did the piece for ESPN, talked to you, I talked to Lou DiBella about his progression. And I feel like he gets a lot of the wrong flack for the progression that he's had. Like, these are appropriate people for him to fight.
Absolutely.
And but, that Ryan Borland is not good.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but I asked Sean in the piece, I was like, who did you fight in your 10th fight? And Sean was like, I don't know.
You go back and look at my record, a lot of the greats in front. Fighters that you like right now, you take a look at their records. We all fought guys like this, and it was just kind of like paying your dues. The difference is he's paying his dues live in front of the millions that we don't have the luxury of doing that for. So
he's fine. You know, a lot of people, you know, he wants to be a world champion. Calling out Canelo is ridiculous. Stop it, right? Like, cut that out. However, if you want to make some money, and if you want to, you know, slowly climb, you'll get ranked by a sanctioning body at some point.
Yeah, but he Jake Paul with them kind of cats, until you meet him, you don't realize how likable he is.
I know.
He is extremely charmable. You know what I mean? Might even like him, but the minute you meet him, and I met him, he's the super coolest dude, and you know, you always be, you know, get mad. That's how you'll never talk about nobody until you meet him, because when you meet him, you have to eat your words.
Exactly.
And Jake Paul got that big personality, super cool.
Here's the one thing, and I promise we're going to keep it moving. The one thing, though, when it comes to, everybody said we want to see him in the ring with real fighters. You're getting in the ring with real fighters now. But now, you got to get in the ring with fighters that don't know their job.
Yep.
And I live tweeted this. I felt like when Berlin was walking out to the ring, I could see in his eyes, it looked like he knew what his job was to do, was to come in, find that perfect punch, and as it's coming, take it and go down.
Right.
No disrespect to anybody, but that's just kind of what I could see in his body language, in his eyes as he was walking to the ring. You're doing good, Jake Paul. You're getting in the ring with world fighters. But now getting in the ring with somebody that not only is going to challenge you, but number two, they're not defeating themselves before they get in the ring.
Yeah, he's got to make a move, man. He said Nikisa told me he's going to fight two more times this year.
Yeah.
You got to fight somebody with a pulse.
Absolutely.
Somebody who's been a little bit more active and that's got a little bit more skill and can give you a different look.
Absolutely. Let's move forward and we'll end on this. We already did a motivational message, so that's cool. We got that out of the way. Amanda Serrano in the ring, basically announcing in the moment that the fight wasn't going to happen. Of course, a lot of us were waiting on the fight to happen before we see her in the ring and before we get this announcement. I have an audio of a friend of mine. Shout out to Larry Drummond. Larry is a lot like you. He know this sport and he know what he's looking at. And I just thought that his narration, I kept the audio message. We sent each other. So I kept the audio because I was like, yo, this is perfect. I want to play the audio first and then we'll get your perspectives after that. Let's do the audio real quick.
Yo, SP, I'm not watching the fights on DAZN. I'm watching the ones on ESPN. I'm rooting for Raymond Ford, but I just heard Amanda Serrano suffered an injury yesterday to her eye. Man, this is the most hilarious cancellation due to an injury I ever heard. You know, you found out yesterday. I don't believe it. I think Amanda, I love her, but I think she got too many miles on the car and it's time to park it because she ain't surviving another fight camp. You know, or she's not going to make it through another fight camp, you know, and if she does, she's not going to have much to take into the ring with her. But I can't wait to hear your take on this on the Porterway podcast. There's no way you find out the day before you have an eye injury. I'm saying that's the week of, or, you know, I don't know. But that's just my take, man. Enjoy the fights, SP.
What'd you think?
Man, from what I heard, I mean, everybody's seen the news that she got her hair done and was running and got something in her eye and she wanted to fight. I can't see Amanda wanting to bail out in front of her home country like that.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
That was the story was that she was running and something got into her eye?
She said story was that she got her hair done and some chemical got into her eye while she was running.
Oh, snap.
And she still wanted to fight, but the doctor wouldn't clear because she couldn't see clearly out of the eye. So if that's the story... I'm gonna go with Amanda. The way she boohooed in that ring, I fell for her.
I absolutely
don't know. That might not been the story, but whatever the story is, it wasn't because of the fact that what he said. I don't think there's no fear in her. I think she's a dog.
What he said. He didn't say fear. He said she got too much miles.
Yeah, but that's too many miles. I don't agree because I think if then you know you got too many miles, you're gonna retire.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. You're not gonna wait till the last minute and quit. You know what I mean? Because miles don't make you quit that day up.
Last week we did the show and I said, this I think is going to be her last fight. Yeah. Jake Paul pulled himself off of the main. He's been the main since day one.
Yeah.
Pulled himself off of the main, made himself co-main, did the fight in Puerto Rico, her hometown, her homeland, so that she could be the main event, get that big,
right.
You know, mm-hmm.
Send off.
And it just didn't work out the way that it was supposed to. But to that point, I said last week, she's going to retire on fight night after the fight. It's just too much mileage. It's too long of fighting at this level. When you're running and you get a chemical in your eye and this chemical is disabling you from fighting, it's that signs of, hey, it's about time to let this thing go. Because, all respect... I understand that there's a chemical that could completely blur your eye and things like that, but what about somebody that doesn't box?
Right.
Those chemicals don't have that same effect on somebody that don't box. That chemical don't have that same effect on somebody who's taking damage to the eye, the head, the list goes on for years and years and years. So I think that even that alone is signs of, hey, you know, this chemical is basically telling you to let it go. It's about time to go.
Do you think she's done now?
She said, hey, I want to come back. I got one more, and I want to retire in front of y'all right here in Puerto Rico. I believe it. I thought that this was going to be the fight. I didn't know that there was a chemical that was the quote-unquote injury.
Yeah.
But my thing was we get an eye exam. We get all of our exams a week, if not 2 weeks, before the fight. We get that all out of the way so that the week of the fight, we ain't got nothing to do but focus on the fight. There are some... promotions and fighters that do have some running around to do the week of the fight, but that's not very typical, especially at this level. All that stuff was done. So yeah, it sounds like one or two things. Either the chemical story is the truth, or you have not been able to pass this eye exam all the way up until the final day before the fight.
It's possible. The thing that makes me curious is I know she still wants that fight with Katie Taylor.
Yeah.
I know she still wants that fight with Katie Taylor.
Yeah.
But it would never happen in Puerto Rico.
What I think could have happened from a business perspective, that she had to get everybody in there.
Yeah,
she couldn't cancel the fight and lose the money. So at the last minute, that made more sense financially.
But they still gave everybody 100% refund, which I thought was classy. But at the same time, I was looking at it, I was like, you're not sparring the week of the fight. So that injury didn't just happen yesterday. Of course, if you're running, you're losing the last 2 pounds before the weigh-in. That's very possible. So I think that that's a very likely story. But the other side of that is, if that story isn't likely, we refer back to the mileage. You've gone weeks now without being able to pass this exam, and you've done everything you could to get somebody to come in here and give you an exam and give you a thumbs up, and you couldn't get the thumbs up.
It's interesting.
That's what I truly think.
This is a tough
call. And I want to go on record for saying I love Amanda Serrano. I love everything that she's been about. She really did, I think, is probably the female fighter that helped change my perspective on women's boxing. You know, so all that being said, I kind of feel like that mileage is the key component to this, right?
Yeah, here. One way or another, I don't see her fighting much longer. Yeah. Like even like you said, she's had a lot of miles. She had a ton of boxing. She fought MMA as well, so she's lots of training camps. So I think she's got one or two left in it. But I felt really bad because it's like in front of your home country. Class act, they gave everybody their money back. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, I do believe it was something wrong with her eye, because no way they'd have gave that money back, and no way she'd have quit the day of. Oh, yeah. It had to be the eye. Now that they gave the money back, bro, it make no sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For her to take that big of a loss, you know, it was worth too much.
Yeah. This is what I hope moving forward, and then we'll close here, but I hope moving forward, whatever's going on, hopefully she can be honest first with herself. And you know this. There's a lot of fighters that ain't honest about where their health is. They ain't honest about your last fight was a fight ago, two fights ago, and they keep going. So I hope that she, number one, she can be honest with herself. And along with that, can produce. If she's honest and says, hey, I can't do it anymore because of health reasons, I know that we'll all respect that and love that and appreciate about her, but I hope that she can just do that opposed to just saying, you know, hey, let's get a doctor that can give me the okay so I can have this one farewell boxing match. Sometimes it's just not worth it. And, man, you know, even Jake said it last night.
So. Yep, indeed.
Appreciate y'all both for coming to the podcast today. Man. My boy Ant out of town. My boy vacationing like every other week.
I ain't going hard.
Yeah. So I had to kick it on your outfit because he wasn't here to kick it on your outfit.
Oh, man. You know what I mean? Because.
But you like me, man. You don't give a damn.
I don't care.
I wore what I wanted to wear. You know? So all that being said, I promise you, man, we're going to have you back, big dog.
Oh, yeah. I'll
gonna
be have back. You back. I'll be back.
This is the Porter way.